This is Money Talk.
I can take money and I can make it into more money.
25 years on the air with advice on money matters. Here's your host, Bob Brinker.
Empower yourself to be your own personal financial manager. Cruising with us here on the flight of the Starship Money Talk. Welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us. Great guest segment upcoming. We're going to be talking about this upcoming Federal Open Market Committee meeting this week and what might come out of it and what it might mean and the whys and the wherefores with a true expert on the topic. First, let's take a look at this week ahead, see what's going to be coming out in the canyons of Wall Street. And the data will begin to flow in earnest on Tuesday. We'll get the Consumer Price Index, and the Consumer Price Index will be for the month of November. And right now, the consensus estimate is that the Consumer Price Index change for the month of November will be zero. Now, the current year-over-year change in the Consumer Price Index is 0.2. We'll also be getting the core index. That's the index minus food and energy. They publish the index in this form because of the volatility of food and energy. And that estimate is 0.2%. Right now, the year-over-year change is 1.9%. in the core inflation index. Now, the Consumer Price Index acronym is CPI. It's a measure of the change in the average price level of a fixed basket of goods and services purchased by consumers. That'll come out on Tuesday. We're not looking for much in the way of inflation. We'll also get the Empire State Manufacturing Survey Tuesday. Estimate is that it'll be minus 7. Last month it was minus 10.7. A lot of headwinds against manufacturing, not the least of which has been the very, very strong trend of the U.S. dollar. We'll also get the housing market index on Tuesday, and the housing market index has done a really good job in terms of how the housing market has evolved. And the consensus is that it will remain in the low 60s where it was last month, and it certainly has been accurate in observing the improvement in the housing market that we have seen, and the improvement over a period of a few years has been really dramatic. On Wednesday, we'll get housing starts for the month of November, the estimated annual rate 1.14 million. That would be a nice increase from the annual rate the prior month. They register a housing start at the start of construction of a new building intended primarily as a residential building. So when they start building, they count it in that category. We'll also get industrial production on Wednesday. The estimate is for negative 0.2%. Now, once again, this is a figure that is affected by the strong dollar because the manufacturing industry has remained under pressure because of the strong dollar, making U.S. exports less competitive overseas, making imported products more competitive on the shelves in the USA. And, of course, the big one on Wednesday, 2 o'clock Eastern, we'll get the statement on the FOMC meeting, the Federal Open Market Committee meeting, and then we'll get the press conference. The financial press will talk with Madam Chair Yellen about their decision. Most observers are expecting a 25 basis point, that's 0.25% increase in the federal funds rate, which is an interesting decision if it is made at a time when the European Central Bank is easing further, at a time when Mr. Abe in Japan is continuing to ease. When the general flow around the world is ease, it certainly would be unusual for the Fed to start tightening with their first rate hike. But that is the consensus expectation going into the Fed meeting. We'll also get jobless claims on Thursday morning. They're estimated at 270,000 for the week. Last week they were 282,000, but they have remained below 300,000, and the all-important four-week moving average remains below 300,000. And the leading indicators will also be announced on Thursday to give us a clue of what's coming up. A small gain, a small increase is anticipated in the leading economic indicator announcement scheduled for Thursday. We have a great guest lined up. Stay with us for that right here when we come back. And when we get to the caller portion for our guest, here's the number, 1-800-934-2221. That'll be later in our guest segment. We'll be back on Money Talk.
Money Talk.
Are you ready to take your diabetes management to the next level? Put the ContourNext meter to the test and challenge your meter. The ContourNext meter makes testing easy and highly accurate with close to lab level results. And ContourNext gives you a second chance, allowing you to reapply to the same strip when the first sample is not enough, saving you time and money. So take the challenge. Go to ContourNextChallenge.com, get a free meter, and enter to win free test strips. ContourNext, accuracy you can trust.
Are you working so hard to make a living you can't make time to make real money? Is every day the same boring routine going nowhere and the money runs out before the month? My name is Ron LeGrand, and for over 30 years now I've been helping clients take their life back by buying and selling houses with no money, credit, experience, or licenses. If you'll call 800-570-6417, 24 hours, and leave a message, I'll send you my new book and CD absolutely free so you can see how. I bought hundreds of houses and trained thousands to do the same. Call 800-570-6417 to get your free starter kit until 500 are given away. You'll learn how to make a full-time income on a part-time basis without risk, largely tax-free, and get 90% of the work done for you for pennies. That's 800-570-6417. Again, that's 800-570-6417. Take your life back and order now.
If you're an individual investor looking for tax-free income, consider municipal bonds. Henyon & Walsh is a leading independent expert in municipal bonds. For over 20 years, they've been helping individual investors like you build bond portfolios. If you have at least $10,000 to invest, call Henyon & Walsh today for your free bond guide. Call 1-800-908-0673. That's 1-800-908-0673. May be subject to local, state, or alternative minimum tax. Henyon & Walsh, Inc., member of FINRA, SIPC.
If you suffer with sleep apnea and you're tired of dragging around your bulky CPAP device when you travel, now you can sleep in total comfort anywhere with Transcend, the world's first mini CPAP. Transcend is as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. For even more freedom, you can add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. Even better, if you have money in a flexible medical spending account, you could get a Transcend without taking a penny from your pocket. But you must act before the end of the year or you may lose that money forever. So call MiniCPAP.com now to try Transcend risk-free for 10 days. 1-800-900-2023. Transcend is so small you can fit it in your briefcase or purse. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Use your flex dollars now to enjoy the freedom to sleep anywhere before they disappear. Call MiniCPAP.com for your 10-day trial. 1-800-900-2023. 1-800-900-2023.
The LA Kings Holiday Gift Pack is the perfect present this holiday season. Packs start at just $95 and include two tickets to an LA Kings game and your choice of a Bailey Bleacher creature doll and keychain set or a four-piece LA Kings etched glassware set. Get yours now at lakings.com/holidaypack or call 1-888-KINGS-LA. That's lakings.com/holidaypack or call 1-888-KINGS-LA.
DUI arrest? Machine says over the limit? You may think it's hopeless, but at 1-800-NO-CUFFS, we know there's hope. I'm attorney Darren Caffinocchi, founder of 1-800-NO-CUFFS. At 1-800-NO-CUFFS, we know there's more than 58 ways those tests can be wrong. Our science nerds have expertise in biology, chemistry, and forensics, so we can tear those tests apart for you. Call 1-800-NO-CUFFS. Keeping handcuffs off for more than two decades, 1-800-NO-CUFFS.
This is Money Talk.
From the beaches of Waikiki to the shores of Block Island Sound, it's America's Money Program, Money Talk. Bob Brinker, along with you, our guest in this segment is Dr. Alan Blinder. Alan Blinder is professor of economics, Princeton University, and also served as vice chairman of the Federal Reserve. Alan, it's a delight to have you with us, and we thank you very much for joining us.
Nice to be with you again, Bob.
And of course, this week, the Federal Open Market Committee reconvenes at the Fed building, where you have presided as vice chair in the past, to take a look at the economy, take a look at monetary policy. Let me ask you your opinion of what might come out of this meeting.
Well, I think they've all but announced that they're going to move the interest rate range. It's now a range rather than just a single number, up by a quarter of a percentage point. So it's been 0 to 25 basis points for almost as long as anybody can remember now, and it's going to go to 25 to 50 basis points unless there is a real shock. It'll be stunning if that doesn't happen.
Well, now there are cynics around, as you know, and some will say, well, now, wait a minute. We have the European Central Bank under the tutorage of Super Mario Draghi. Talking about extending their quantitative easing program this week, and after some confusion on Thursday, as you well know, Mario appeared at the Economic Club of New York on Friday and certainly clarified that, well, I'll paraphrase here, but in my opinion, listening to his remarks, I would say that he made it clear that way back when he said whatever it takes, nothing's changed. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think they're prepared to do more. You know, they disappointed the markets on last Thursday. Last week, and Mario Draghi realized that, and so when he went in front of the New York financial community this past week, he sort of made it clear that there's more coming from the ECB.
What kind of a grade would you give Mario Draghi at this point as the top dog at the European Central Bank?
You know, I think he gets very good grades. I mean, first of all, the ECB has been doing much better under his leadership than it had been before. Secondly, that statement that you mentioned, do whatever it takes. By the way, that was in the summer of 2012, long time ago. Mm-hmm. And he just convinced the markets. He's very good at talking to the markets, and he never had to put a single euro behind that pledge. Mm-hmm. That was a pledge, by the way, to do whatever it would take to keep the eurozone together,
Specifically
that Greece wouldn't drop out of it. And that was 2012, and here we are on the verge of 2016, and Greece has not dropped out of it, and that certainly doesn't look anywhere close to happening. And the words alone, the artful way he put it and his timing, sort of did most of the job, not sort of, did the whole job for him.
And then we have Mr. Abe in Japan. He has also been on an easing tear, which is certainly consistent with what Draghi's been doing.
Yes. Now, you're 100% right. And some people are using that to say, well, what's the Fed doing? They're out of step with the others. And the answer is they are out of step with the others, those two in particular, and they should be for a very simple reason, which is that our economy is doing quite a bit better than the Eurozone economy or the Japanese economy. And so maybe the right way to put this is, unlike the Eurozone and Japan, we're at least ready to take the U.S. economy out of the intensive care unit and put it into a regular hospital room.
And then we have Madame Lagarde on record this year as essentially imploring Madame Chair Yellen.
That's right.
Not to raise rates. What do you make of that?
You know, by now I'm used to it. When it first happened, I was surprised. And what I make of it is that probably Janet Yellen didn't appreciate the sentiment, And certainly the FOMC is not going to listen to the IMF.
Now, you've been in the room for the Fed meetings on many occasions when you served as vice chair.
Yes.
You've been on both sides of the issue many times as you try to go through the pros and the cons of rate decisions. Do you think it's occurred to me that through all of the talking this year that the Fed has almost boxed itself into a corner here with all the discussion of raising rates this year, quote unquote,
right,
that they really don't have much choice. What say you?
No, I think that's exactly right. You know, when they started saying this year, that was back in the summer.
Yeah.
They felt, well, we got a 6-month safety margin. Surely we'll want to do it this year. By the time we passed September, the remainder of this year was starting to get very thin. And by the time we got into November, the Fed was pretty much blaring from megaphones that it was going to raise rates this year, which, of course, means December 16th.
Alan Blinder, our guest, Princeton University, former vice chair of the Federal Reserve. Well, it seems to me that when you take a look at monetary policy today, all of this emphasis on getting the rate process going, it seems to me that it has to be at a, I'm not going to say glacial pace, but it has to be gradual.
Gradual is the word, yes. There is some distinction, I guess, between gradual and glacial, but they both mean slow, and it's going to be at a slow pace. And Janet Yellen is pretty much, you know, it is my forecast, but it's not my personal forecast. Janet Yellen has more or less said that about as clearly as she can. The only question she's leaving people to scratch their heads about, and frankly, without saying so, she's scratching her head about it too, is how slow is slow? That is it going to be gradual? Is it going to be glacial? She can't forecast that now because it will depend on how well the economy does or how poorly.
For sure. Well, the process, if you are correct, Dr. Blinder, the process will be underway on Wednesday afternoon. And help our listeners to understand just how the Federal Open Market Committee will make rates go up.
Well, it's actually a harder question than it used to be, because in the old days when there wasn't this gigantic mountain of excess reserves held by banks beyond what they're required to hold, it was pretty simple, which is the Fed would go into the market and say buy a treasury bill and thereby create more reserves if it wanted to ease, and if it wanted to tighten, which is what it's the direction it's about to move, it would go sell the treasury bill and take reserves out of the system. Now, unfortunately for the Fed, but that's life, there's been this huge accumulation of excess reserves, the likes of which we've never seen in the history of the Federal Reserve. So it's going to have to do a little bit fancier footwork, and that's what I was slightly alluding to earlier. It's going to establish a corridor. There's an upper limit to where the federal funds rate can be, and that'll be 50 basis points. And there's a lower limit to where the federal funds rate can be, and that'll be 25 basis points. And it will enforce those limits and let the federal funds rate settle someplace in between those two.
You know, it's really hard for me to believe that the numbers you're talking about, even 0.5% for the federal funds rate, makes a difference to the economy. What do you say?
Frankly, it makes a trivial difference. So you're not very far off to say it makes no difference. The question, of course, is where is the federal funds rate going to wind up at the end of this tightening, or as the Fed likes to call it, normalization cycle? And I think a good guess sitting here, though who knows what will happen, is something like 3.25 or 3.5. But how long will it take to get there? That's your gradual or glacial question, Bob. And I'm thinking, and this is consistent with the Fed, what the Fed is saying, although they could change their mind many times, is something around 3 years or 3 years plus. So that's pretty slow. If you're going to move the interest rate up about 3 percentage points, 300 basis points in 3 years plus, your pace is something under, at or under 100 basis points a year, which is much slower than what the Fed normally does when it raises interest rates.
Yeah, that would be plenty enough to give us an inverted yield curve if the 10-year stayed at 2.2. What's going to happen to the 10-year while
this would? Well, that's anybody's guess, but I feel confident to say it's not going to stay at 2.2. Now, it might stay at 2.2 next Wednesday because all the bond traders know this increase on the overnight rate is coming. But as the Fed goes up, it's not going to stay at 25 to 50 basis points. That's a first step, and gradually it's going to go up. And the 10-year bond rate is not going to just sit there while the Fed is moving the short rate up. So I would guess that at the end of the rainbow, so to speak, let's just say at the end of the 3 years, I don't know if it'll take 3 years, and neither does the Fed at this point, but whenever it ends, I would guess that you're looking at a 10-year bond rate that looks more like 4.25, 4.5 than it does like 2.2.
That could mean some bleeding for long-term bond funds.
It will. It'll be a slow bleed because that's what you get with a glacial pace, but it will mean a bleeding for long-term bond funds.
Our guest is Alan Blinder. Alan Blinder's bachelor's degree, Princeton University, also London School of Economic Study, and his doctorate from MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Alan Blinder, our guest, and your calls for Dr. Blinder are welcome on the toll-free line when we return. Let me give you that number so you can queue up. Always lots of calls for Alan Blinder. Our toll-free line across America, 1-800-934-2221, 1-800-934-2221. Alan Blinder also is the founder of the Princeton University Center for Economic Policy, as well as having served as vice chair at the Federal Reserve. Now, when we return, and while our listeners queue up on the lines, Alan, when we return, I'm going to ask you to provide some color for our Money Talk listeners that are constantly bombarded in Washington by political talk about we must audit the Fed. The Fed must be audited. And this gets drilled into listeners' heads far too much as far as I'm concerned. You're here to address that, and that is all good. When we return on Money Talk.
This is Money Talk.
If you're considering going back to school, ask yourself the following questions.
For some,
do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits you need transferred? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Arizona State University is the perfect school for you. Arizona State University offers over 100 highly ranked degree programs 100% online. You'll earn the same degree as you would on campus, from wherever you are, on your schedule. Plus, ASU Online accepts most transfer credits. For information, call 1-800-705-2776. Learn for yourself why the Wall Street Journal ranks ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates, and why 90% of ASU grads are recruited within 90 days of graduation. Learn to grow, learn to succeed, and learn to thrive at Arizona State University. To learn more about ASU online degrees, call 1-800-705-2776. That's 1-800-705-2776.
Pop quiz for all business owners. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business, which one of these can you lose? Your home, your car, or your life savings? The answer? All three. Because if you're not incorporated, it's not just your business that can be sued, it's you too, which means you could lose everything. Once business owners realize the risk of not being incorporated, they usually scramble to incorporate or form an LLC. To make it quick and easy, Incorporate.com is now giving away a free incorporation guide to all business owners, so you can incorporate in just 10 minutes. For your free 10-minute incorporation guide, call now, 1-800-969-5334. Protect your financial future. At Incorporate.com, they don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating or forming an LLC quick and easy. Call now for your free 10-minute incorporation guide. 1-800-969-5334. Hurry while supplies last. 1-800-969-5334. That's 1-800-969-5334.
Did you know a dirty CPAP system can make you sick?
If you knew what could be growing in your mask and hose, you might not sleep so well. But now, SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs, and it's completely hands-free. For a limited time, you can try SoClean risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-400-4387.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health has improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean destroys CPAP bacteria, viruses, and germs with no hassle. Never have to clean your machine by hand again. There's no water, chemicals, or disassembly. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP system is clean and fresh in minutes. Call SoClean.com to try it risk-free at home for 30 days. This is a limited-time offer, only available by calling 1-800-400-4387. That's 1-800-400-4387.
If you're suffering with hearing loss and you don't want to hear more clearly again, cover your ears. Because I'm about to offer everyone who's listening an absolutely risk-free trial of a life-changing hearing breakthrough called Listen Clear. We'll even give you free shipping and free batteries for life. So if you're still listening, call now. 1-800-500-2180. Listen Clear is precisely designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. And you can adjust Listen Clear to find the perfect way to hear everything, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. Listen Clear is so invisible, people may not even know you're wearing it. And it's so lightweight, you may even forget you're wearing it too. So if you're ready to hear more clearly again, let us give you a 100% risk-free home trial with free shipping and free batteries for life. For free information, call now. 1-800-500-2180. That's 1-800-500-2180. 1-800-500-2180.
Sample comes with a 90-day order. Copays and deductibles may apply.
If you or someone you care for are using painful urinary catheters, Medical Direct Club can help. There's a new catheter that hurts less, and you can get a free sample with free shipping by calling now. Pain and urinary tract infections can be avoided if you're using urinary catheters. The new disposable catheters from Medical Direct Club hurt less due to an incredible new design that reduces pain by gliding easily and effortlessly. Old catheters can scrape and cut, causing pain and infection. These new catheters from Medical Direct Club are changing the lives of people who use urinary catheters. Medicare and your insurance will pay for up to 200 of these new catheters per month at little or no cost to you. Medical Direct Club handles all of the paperwork with your doctor and includes lifetime free shipping when you join. Membership and a free sample are free, so call Medical Direct Club now, 1-800-600-1127. That's 1-800-600-1127. End painful cathing today. Call 1-800-600-1127.
Live and local. 1090, 1090. KABC.
This is Money Talk.
We are back in America's Money Program, coast to coast, border to border, in the islands of Hawaii and north to Alaska at 1-800-934-2221. Our guest is Alan Blinder, economics professor, Princeton University, former vice chair of the Federal Reserve, and our toll-free line, 1-800-934-2221. Before we get to our busy phones, Alan, we're constantly hearing politicians demanding that the Fed be audited. What are they talking about? Because anybody that does any homework knows they've always been audited.
They've always been audited. That's exactly right. I think it's a catchphrase. This started with Ron Paul, not Rand Paul, but the father. Ron Paul. And I think it's a catchphrase because it sounds like when you advocate a bill called Audit the Fed, that the Fed doesn't get audited, and most people would react, well, why shouldn't it? It's a government bureau. It should get a financial audit like other government bureaus, which it absolutely does and has for as long as anybody can remember. So the bill itself should actually be named Bash the Fed, which, by the way, is also frequently done.
Yes.
Congressmen, whenever they feel like it, bash the Fed. But so the audit, the Fed, is about auditing the Fed's monetary policy, not its finances. Is it spending money correctly according to law? Yeah. Is it being frugal? Things like that. Does it have internal controls so that nobody embezzles the Fed's money? I mean, all of that, things like that are part of any audit of a business or a government agency, and it's been happening at the Fed forever. The audit the Fed bill wants to have the Congress in an organized manner appraise, that's real, that's the sense of audit, appraise out loud, I might say, the Federal Reserve's monetary policy.
Well, Alan, as far as I'm concerned, if members of Congress who've done a dreadful job of functioning to begin with, if members of Congress get their hands into the formulation of monetary policy, at that point, for me, we become a banana republic.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't think you're the only one who would reach a judgment. The Congress is probably not the best group of people to do monetary policy.
Right.
I mean, could you imagine how that would poll if we actually asked Americans whether they thought that that job should be handed over to Congress? So the American people don't want it handed over to Congress, I'm quite sure. I think it's a dreadful idea, as you do, but it's like a bad penny. It keeps bouncing back.
John is in San Diego. John, you are on with Alan Blinder. Go ahead. Go ahead, John. John, you're on with Alan Blinder. Go ahead.
Alan, your comments about the Fed being in a box for two reasons. One is if they're raising interest rates significantly with a $20 trillion debt, the additional spending of interest will magnify an already large deficit. And second, when they raise interest rates, they're also exacerbating a problem of a strong dollar, which has made oil prices pretty weak and has also crippled exporters' profits. You got any comment on that?
Yeah, you're right on both counts. So let me take them one at a time. As a pure matter of arithmetic, when the government has to pay higher borrowing rates, which it will as a result of the Fed's policy, the interest bill that it has to pay every year, every month, whatever period you want to look at, is going to go up. The only thing I would just add, so it's true, the only thing I would add to that is that, well, two things, I guess. It is not the Fed's job to pay rapt attention to the federal government's interest bill. It is what it is, and that depends on the legacy of deficits and interest rates. And so on. The second thing I would say is that's already built into budget projections. When the CBO and the OMB and others project the federal budget forward, it's not been a surprise to any of them that interest rates are headed higher. So if you're thinking that this is going to make, pick a year, the 2018 fiscal deficit a lot larger than people are now projecting, I don't think that's right, because it's already built in.
All right, we're going over to the – let's go to the great number one rated WHO Radio Des Moines. Cal, you're on with Alan Blinder. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Dr. Blinder. I'm curious, with all the credit, the excess credit, a lot would say, that have been built up in the U.S. and around the world because of the zero interest rate long process. Do you see deflation developing to wipe some of that out and affect things at this point?
Well, it is a possibility, but I think it's not too likely. The Fed is very cognizant of that. And the problem they've been facing in recent months, many, many months, I mean more than a year, is that inflation is too low in the sense that it's below the Fed's stated target, which is a 2% inflation rate. So its first job is to get the inflation rate up to 2. So that means some increase in inflation is not only welcome, but sought after. As the inflation rate starts rising above 2, if it does, by the way, a lot of people are skeptical that we're going to get there. The Japanese have not been able to get there. But as and if it does, the Fed will start looking askance at the inflation numbers as they go past its target, and will adjust their monetary policy accordingly. And that will mean, if inflation is going up faster than people thought, that the Fed's interest rate increases will pick up pace. So they won't be glacial anymore. They might just be slow and not glacial. But the point is the Fed is watching those inflation numbers and is fully prepared to adjust accordingly, and has said that it will.
On that score, Alan, do you think, or has it been made clear by Madam Chair Yellen, that the Fed is focused on the headline inflation rate or the core rate? Because the core rate, as you know, is very close to 2%, whereas the headline rate's close to zero.
Right. The Fed is focused in the short term. It's a complicated question, I'll answer. In the short run, the Fed is focused on the core. Why is that? Because the core is a much better predictor of where the headline rate will be, say, a year from now or 2 years from now. So they focus on the core. And the only thing you got slightly wrong is that the core rate for the index that the Fed looks at, the so-called PCE deflator, personal consumption expenditures deflator, is more like 1.25.
That's right.
It's not two. The headline is about zero, as you say, because of oil. And so there's a ways to go before that core rate gets up to two.
Frank is on the line listening to the great KCMO Radio Kansas City, where it's been raining all day, Alan. Frank, you were on the line with Alan Blinder. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. And it is pouring here, that's for sure. Dr. Blinder, I'm one of those recently retired people that's just thirsting for some better interest rates on CDs, right. But, you know, right. Being risk averse. And I'm looking at a 10-year brokered CD right around 3%. Given your discussion about the next 3 years, would I be reasonably expecting something as high as maybe 6% on a CD like that in 3 years?
To me, you know, first of all, I want to say very clearly, nobody can predict interest rates 3 years ahead. That includes Janet Yellen with all she knows about the Fed. That said, a 6% interest rate on a 10-year CD 3 years from now seems a stretch to me. According to the projections that I was just talking about, 3 years from now, the federal funds rate may be 3.25 or something like that. That suggests a 10-year government bond rate, treasury rate, around 4%. And maybe a CD rate paid by commercial banks a bit higher than 4%. But that leaves you a long way short of 6%.
Alan, we've talked about the Federal Reserve and the fact that all year long they have stressed over and over that they are data dependent. We've heard it a million times. And yet, despite that constant drumbeat about being data dependent, we also, separate from that, we get a constant outpouring, much of it in the form of speeches by participants at the Fed about how, well, we're going to do this, well, we're going to do that, which seems to contradict the notion that, well, really, we're totally data dependent. We're going to do what the data tells us to do. And I just want to get your view on that.
Yeah, I think you're right. You were talking earlier about the Fed kind of slipping into mentioning times back in the summer that it'll be this year.
Yeah,
that was
yeah.
kind of vague, but the it'll be this year got more and more specific.
It sure did.
Date as the year wore on. So the Fed sort of accidentally, it was a slip, by the back door, started getting calendar dependent rather than data dependent. I expect that to end on Wednesday, where the Fed will reiterate its data dependence. And other than saying it's going to move slowly or gradually or whatever word they choose, they probably won't choose glacially, but it'll be something slightly synonymous with that. I think that'll be the closest they come to a calendar date. And that's pretty far from a calendar date, because I think she'll also explain, if not in the statement, it'll come out in the press conference. What I was saying before to your listener about inflation, that they are going to be watching the growth of the economy. They're going to be watching the labor market. They're going to be watching the inflation rate. And those are the key aspects of data dependence. And they will be moving interest rates up accordingly, according to what the data show, not according to what the calendar shows.
My sense is, Alan, if you were a voting member of the FOMC on Wednesday, my sense is you would vote to hike the rate.
Yeah, I'm ready to vote to hike the rates. I think it'll be a unanimous vote, by the way. We'll see. That's a prediction, which could be falsified on Wednesday. But I think it's likely to be unanimous. You know, and as you said earlier, we're only talking about 25 basis points here. We're not talking about jacking interest rates up to heights that it starts really squeezing people.
It's interesting to me that with this rate hike almost baked in the cake, we have a 10-year treasury around 2.2. What do you make of that? What do you make of that?
You know, I've been scratching my head about that for a long time. It seems to me, but apparently not to bond traders, that 10-year rate should be higher than that now, because we have at least some inkling that over the next 9.5 years or something, interest rates are going to be higher. The one part of it that I understand, so mainly I want to confess that I'm a little bit baffled as how they've stayed so low for so long. But the one thing that I do understand is that the markets are skeptical that the Fed's relatively optimistic forecast scenario will come true. So they're more pessimistic about how the economy is going to do in the next 1, 2, 3 years or so. And consistent with that, they don't believe that the Fed is going to go raise its interest rates as high as I was just saying. So I was suggesting, roughly speaking, 100 basis points a year for 3 years. The market expectation is for less than that.
Alan, as you know, there's a lot of misinformation out there about the Federal Reserve. So I'd like to put one to bed right now with your excellent insight. The question I will ask you to answer for our listeners who may get misdirected by misinformation out there, there's plenty of it. Who owns the Federal Reserve?
All right. I'm going to give you two answers to that, if you don't mind. Technically speaking, as a bookkeeping question, the commercial banks who are members of the Federal Reserve, which is most commercial banks, but not all, are shareholders of the Fed. They get a dividend. They help elect directors, just as shareholders do in a corporation. And they are the owners of the 12 reserve. This is true of the 12 reserve banks around the country. It is not true of the Federal Reserve Board in Washington, which is not actually a bank. It's a board. That's why they call it that. Now, that's true in an accounting bookkeeping sense. But in a sense that we usually think of, if you own something, you have some control over the decisions that let's say, company makes. In this case, the shareholders, the bankers, have no control over it. And in a very realistic sense, in a functional sense, rather than a bookkeeping sense, the Federal Reserve is owned by the citizens of the country.
You know, I think I'm not going to blame the Fed for this, but the system, I think, has done a really poor job of getting that message out.
I think you're right.
Why is that?
You know, well, you might say, well, it's a difficult message, but I think the bigger answer is the Fed is still getting over, it's getting much, much better, but it's still getting over its legacy of silence. If you only had to go back 20 years or less, back to when I was on the Fed and even after, to a first approximation, the Fed said nothing about anything. It just had the attitude, you guys need to figure it out and we're not going to help you.
I remember that quite well.
You remember that. Now, I never thought that was the right attitude.
Yeah.
Now, they're vastly, vastly better at it. As we were just saying, the Fed has now telegraphed what it's about to do, which it never would have done two decades ago. But it still is not quite as open and talkative, maybe I should say, as it should be, as I think it eventually will be. I'm quite sure that on this particular issue, Janet Yellen agrees with me, as did Ben Bernanke before Janet Yellen, and the Fed is moving in that direction. But the Fed is kind of a stodgy institution, and it moves slowly. So it's still got more to do.
Alan Blinder, Princeton University, our guest. Alan, as always, you've done a magnificent job of shedding light on a topic that needs all the light and transparency possible. We can't thank you enough for your time, and we wish you continued success.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure to be with you.
This is Money Talk.
Money Talk.
Molly's been having 4 scoops a day, and she has slimmed down and gotten this puppy look. Her coat has sheen, you can't believe.
Oh, yeah.
Her breath is better. She's just perkier. It's just so totally amazing. She's a gorgeous Springer Spaniel. She's 12 and a half years old. The last 2-3 years, she was really becoming very old, very slow, was very sad.
And I thought, oh, this is it.
I was driving along one day, and I heard this person raving about Dynavite. Dynavite.com. Dynovite.com.
859-428-1000.
She's got life. She's got energy. She's got stuff to give.
She loves it. She chomps it every last single crumb.
These ingredients are natural. The flax and the yeast cultures and the grains.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
We're on our third order now. We just want everybody to know about Dynavite.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dynovite.com.
Are you ready to retire? Will your investments provide the income you need? The Brinker Fixed Income Advisor helps you take control of your fixed income investments. Subscribe now, and each month you'll receive the following fixed income information: the best CD rates available, upcoming municipal bonds in your state, ETF and no-load mutual fund recommendations, along with 4 model portfolios and complete access to our BrinkerAdvisor.com website. Nothing is more important than planning for retirement. Financial independence and worry-free retirement are within your grasp. Pick up the phone and call the Brinker Fixed Income Advisor at 1-800-660-3293 or visit us online at www.brinkeradvisor.com. Let the Brinker Fixed Income Advisor help you achieve your fixed income investment goals. Order now. Call us toll-free at 1-800-660-3293. That's 1-800-660-3293.
If you suffer with sleep apnea and you're tired of dragging around your bulky CPAP device when you travel, now you can sleep in total comfort anywhere with Transcend, the world's first mini CPAP. Transcend is as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. For even more freedom, you can add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. Even better, if you have money in a flexible medical spending account, you could get a Transcend without taking a penny from your pocket. But you must act before the end of the year or you may lose that money forever. So call MiniCPAP.com now to try Transcend risk-free for 10 days. 1-800-900-2023. Transcend is so small you can fit it in your briefcase or purse. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Use your flex dollars now to enjoy the freedom to sleep anywhere before they disappear. Call MiniCPAP.com for your 10-day trial. 1-800-900-2023. 1-800-900-2023.
If your credit card debt is out of control, if you're in over your head dealing with monthly payments, there's a powerful secret that credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have more than $5,000 in credit card debt, you have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. We're NetDebt, and we're offering you free information on how to virtually eliminate your credit card debt and make your monthly payment affordable. To see how much you could save, call now, 1-800-616-6995. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and we could save you thousands. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. Net debt. Live better debt-free. Find out how easy it is by calling now. For the secret the credit card companies don't want you to know, call NetDebt now and see how much money you could save for free. Call 1-800-616-6995. That's 1-800-616-6995.
This is Money Talk.
It's America's Money Program, Money Talk. For information on my investment letter, that's Bob Brinker's Market Timer Investment Letter, go to bobbrinker.com, request a complimentary bank issue right there. Easily done. Click on the Request a Complimentary Bank Issue feature, And the Market Timer Investment Letter has just been named to the 2016 Hobart Financial Digest Investment Letter Honor Roll. While you're at the website, you can learn about Money Talk on demand. You can stream Money Talk to your computer. You can download it to your smartphone. That's Money Talk on demand. Listen wherever you go, whenever you like, with Money Talk on demand. The investment talk is year-round. Sign up at bobbrinker.com at the Money Talk on demand logo. Wow. Talk about enlightening. What an opportunity, and time-wise, coming up to the big meeting on Wednesday, Tuesday and Wednesday, to get an opportunity to talk with former Fed Vice Chair Alan Blinder about this upcoming meeting. And he made it clear that if he were a voting member at this meeting, as he has at past meetings, he would vote in favor of increasing the federal funds rate by 25 basis points. The current band is 0 to 25. That would mean that the new band, the new range, would be 25 to 50 basis points. He also made it clear that this is going to be the first of a series of rate increases if the economy continues to grow. That goes without saying. If the economy continues to grow, and he looks something in the 3.25, 3.5 area for the federal funds rate within a 3-year period, which means this is going to be a grinder, a grinded out gradual process with rates. Hey, before they beam me out of here, let me thank all of our Money Talk Trekkies for cruising with us on the Starship. Our program coordinator, Ravi Chandran, producer Meredith Oakes, technical directors Angel Bordone, and Mr. Bob Mack. Till next time, happy investing, and may the odds be ever in your favor.
Are you ready to take your diabetes management to the next level? Put the ContourNex meter to the test and challenge your meter. The ContourNex meter makes testing easy and highly accurate with close to lab level results. And ContourNex gives you a second chance, allowing you to reapply to the same strip when the first sample is not enough, saving you time and money. So take the challenge. Go to ContourNextChallenge.com, get a free meter, and enter to win free test strips. ContourNex, accuracy you can trust.
Are you working so hard to make a living you can't make time to make real money? Is every day the same boring routine, going nowhere, and the money runs out before the month? My name is Ron LeGrand, and for over 30 years now, I've been helping clients take their life back by buying and selling houses with no money, credit, experience, or licenses. If you'll call 800-570-6417, 24 hours, and leave a message, I'll send you my new book and CD absolutely free so you can see how. I bought hundreds of houses and trained thousands to do the same. Call 800-570-6417 to get your free starter kit until 500 are given away. You'll learn how to make a full-time income on a part-time basis without risk, largely tax-free, and get 90% of the work done for you for pennies. That's 800-570-6417. Again, that's 800-570-6417. Take your life back and order now.
If you're an individual investor looking for tax-free income, consider municipal bonds. Henyon & Walsh is a leading independent expert in municipal bonds. For over 20 years, they've been helping individual investors like you build bond portfolios. If you have at least $10,000 to invest, call Henyon & Walsh today for your free bond guide. Call